Welcome to the first edition of the Northwest Missouri State Coaches Show with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Adam Dorrell. Our interview with Coach Dorrell is underwritten by Maryville's Hy-Vee, which is located at 1217 South Main in Maryville, providing groceries, a pharmacy, a bakery, and kitchen. And the interview is recorded each Monday at noon from Maryville's Hy-Vee Kitchen and can be heard on KXCV KRNW beginning at 525 Monday afternoon and also available on demand at kxcv.org. Again, head coach of the Bearcats, Adam Dorrell, with us. And Adam, a good first week for your squad coming up with a big victory on the road at Truman against the Truman State Bulldogs, retaining the old hickory stick and also coming away with a 65-3 victory.
Yeah, absolutely. We were very pleased watching the tape, how our kids played. I thought we played with a lot of energy and a lot of passion. And, you know, we were very opportunistic and made some turnovers. And I thought we just were physical on both sides of the football and had some very big special teams plays, blocked two punts. So, yeah, overall I thought it was a great night. I just was proud of our kids the way they played.
And just talk a little bit about the mindset going into this first game. Obviously, you're going on the road to open up a conference game, which is something that hasn't been done for many years, where the conference season starts with week number one. Talk a little bit about preparing for an MIAA game and preparing for the old Hickory Stick matchup to start the season.
Well, you know, a big thing for us is, I think we're 0-5 in home openers or season openers the last 5 years, and it was just very important for us to win that first game. It's always been kind of a disappointing thing. You start that season off with the first loss. So that was a big focus of ours, even in the off season, back in January, February. Those were things we were talking about. And then, to boot it, was a conference game. So, you got to come out and you can't stub your toe. And, it's difficult the first game of the season because you don't have tape of your opponent. Obviously, you're relying on what you had last year, but with coaching changes and things of that nature, personnel changes, traditionally a lot of teams change up what they're doing. So, it was kind of tough circumstances. But like I said, I was proud with the way our kids and coaches, made adjustments and got our guys ready to play.
Did Truman State throw anything at you that perhaps you weren't expecting going in with, as you mentioned, some personnel changes, including a new quarterback this year?
Yeah, they did. They did a lot of new things on offense that we hadn't seen last year. And I was proud of our defensive staff. They took it upon themselves to spend the week preparing our guys for, different things that that they may come across, trouble, what we call trouble, empty backfield and things of that nature. So offensively, they did a lot of new things. Defensively, didn't do much new. They did the things that they've always done, and obviously, that was very beneficial for us.
I thought one of the keys, you go in and they, with the Truman State's new quarterback coming in, J.B. Clark, a transfer in from a Division I program, you're able to make life a little bit difficult for him throughout the game.
Yeah, it was. That was one of the things I talked about in our pregame talk. I said, I looked right at our defensive guys and said, it's funny, first game of the season, every quarterback in the country feels really good about himself because he's gone the last month in a red jersey and hasn't gotten hit. And I really challenged our kids to get after him. And I know Coach Wright did as well. And I thought they did a great job. Even the times they didn't hit him, getting at his knees or around his legs to let him know that they were there. And, quite frankly, I didn't think played great by any means, and I thought that had a lot to do with our guys.
Yeah, I thought in particular they were trying to do a lot of two or three step drops and try to get the ball very quickly and out to the receivers, and even at that he was pressured on those type of plays.
Absolutely. I saw it all camp, being the O-line guy. I think our Matt Miner and Ricky Bailey do a great job, our ends, of getting edge pressure, and then Aaron Terry and Josh Lawrence and inside get good pop up the middle. So that's something we expect from those kids every week.
I know you talked to before the first game about how athletic the defense was going to be. And, again, you got some guys stepping up in the secondary that have a lot of athletic ability, and they really showed that a little bit Thursday night.
Absolutely. The thing we love as coaches is competition. And on both sides of the football, but especially on defense, we had a lot of kids play well. So, you show up today, you better be ready to practice, because if not, there's a guy at your spot that is, and it's just that's the nature of the beast. Performer, your reps will get cut, and that's something that I'm super excited about right now. I thought that could be one of the strengths of our football team. I really did. I thought our chemistry, our camaraderie ship, and I thought our depth would be some things that could carry us a long way. And you know, I know it's early and it's week one, but you saw a glimpse of that Thursday night.
Well, I think one of the things that really comes out of that as well, and we've seen with past teams, is when you go too deep like that, especially on a warm evening like it was a Kirksville Thursday night, you got guys that are still fairly fresh as you go into the fourth quarter in a game like that.
Well, absolutely. That's one thing, you know, I challenged our kids again, is that I really felt like we were going to be better conditioned than they were, and I just – you know, I know what Joe does with our guys down in the weight room and what he does in his summer conditioning program. And that was something we really, really hammered our kids. You're going to be in better shape than these guys are. You know, play full speed, put the foot feed down. If you need to come out four plays later, we've got another guy to get in there. And, you know, because I think sometimes first game of the season, kids, like you said, the heat, humidity, kind of worry about saving themselves, being able to play 60 minutes. And, you know, we don't need that right now. We have so much depth on both sides. You need to go out and give us your best effort on every snap and every quarter, every play. And if you need a blow, we'll get somebody else in there.
Now on the offensive side, a lot of guys are stepping up into some leadership roles and some playing roles now. And I guess, first of all, you look at the quarterback position, Blake Christopher getting a chance to be the starting quarterback, a guy that's done a little of everything just to be able to be a part of the team and contribute up to this point. Now he's getting a chance as a starting quarterback. I thought he came out and performed well for you.
I did. I thought his composure was great. You know, we think that maybe that had a little bit to do with the fact that the way we structured our scrimmages this year in fall camp. We really thought that with as many new faces we had on both sides, that might have eased some anxiety a little bit, you know, pregame jitters. And I was very proud of him. He came out and did exactly what we wanted him to do. The throws he needed to make, he made, and he made some really good ones. You know, in my opinion, whether you're a high school, college, or professional quarterback, you make your scholarship or your money on third down. And I think at one point he was 5 for 5 on third down conversions. And, you know, that's a tribute to him, his work ethic, his film study, him understanding our offense and him understanding what they were doing defensively.
I think one of the things that was impressive, you talked about a little jitters to start a ball game. This is a guy that really hasn't started at quarterback since you know, high school. I mean, he's come out and he's done a lot of things to be a part of the program, including a little tailback, a little tight end and different things. But his first real chance back at the quarterback spot, and really, again, seemed composed there.
He did. You know, I thought he got some help early. I thought his first third and long throw, you know, he made a right read. He saw the safeties rotate, and he threw the backside post to Soy, which is never a bad option. But Soy made a good catch for him. But I really felt that got him going. And then on that same drive, Jordan Simmons made a heck of a third down catch for him too, right across the middle. And, you know, I think that helped to get his confidence going, and it should. You know, rely on your teammates, rely on your buddies, and but again, you're right, John. I thought he did a really good job of just being composed, not having the jitters, and, you know, not making a bunch of mental mistakes early.
Another guy I thought stepped up and performed well, a guy that we've seen do this in the past, but is Tyler Shaw, a guy that once he catches the ball, he's very tough to bring down, you know, a track star and a hurdler, but I thought he came up with some good catches for it.
You know, he really did. I was proud of him. We've almost worked with him a little bit, and maybe throttling down initially and trying to work on trying to keep his head still when he runs so he can focus on the football. I think sometimes he runs so fast, you know, everything gets to shaking on him a little bit. But he made, you know, his first touchdown catch. Oh, my gosh, that was a phenomenal – tough catch, you know. If you didn't see it, it made it sound like just a deep ball over the middle, but it was – you know, kind of throwing high and behind him, and he had to go up behind his head and make the catch. And, you know, again, just the confidence that we can take away from that game, you know, relying on each other, put it up there, I'll go get it type deal. And, you know, I was proud of him. He made a couple of good blocks, too, downfield.
And we talk about blocking. You've got an offensive line that a lot of guys stepping into starting roles there. But one of the things I think came out last year was with the injury situation, some of your linemen, these guys got some meaningful snaps late in the season in which there were some pretty pressure-packed ball games. So they're coming in a little bit battle-tested, even though maybe they haven't been a starter in the lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. We started three guys Saturday that had never started before. A college football game. John Petroff at left tackle, and he's never played left tackle. Cole Chevalier at center. He's a redshirt freshman, made his first collegiate start. And John Beckland, the transfer from UNO. John played a lot at Omaha, but he never started a game. So having those three kids in there making their first start, I thought was the way they played. They weren't perfect, but I thought they competed well. Again, I was just proud of them, the way they, you know, were composed, and they didn't get caught up in the moment, so to speak. But, you know, obviously Keeney started at left guard, and he played a lot last year, like you said, and then Cody Johnson at right guard. And, you know, we're thinking we're going to have Rod Williams back this week that obviously will add to our depth situation. But, yeah, I thought those guys, for the most part, did a really good job Thursday night.
And I thought, too, the running backs that you had out there did a good job reading their blocking and maybe sometimes waiting a little bit for those blocks to be set up on a couple of touchdowns. It really seemed evident that they waited for their blockers and then got a pretty good touchdown out of that.
They did. I agree with you. I thought they were patient runners. You know, again, early in the season, it's kind of like get the ball and go. And, you know, some of those schemes are outside zone schemes. You got to be patient, let the stuff set up, and then go. I thought Franklin and Simmons did a great job. Again, just, you know, the thing I can't stress enough about our football team right now is the fact that we're unselfish, and we've got to remain unselfish. When you have that many kids and that many weapons on offense and you have that much depth on defense, you know, kids are not going to have that statistical blowout game like some other people in our league will. But, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about winning a conference championship for us and trying to get to Florence, Alabama. And I'm just proud of those kids the way that, because it's not the way our kids are doing it right now. They're making it look easy, and trust me, it's not. You know, when you have two tailbacks like that in the backfield at a lot of places across the country, it's a tailback crisis, and, you know, everybody's worried about their touches and their touchdowns. And, you know, neither one of those kids were the leading rusher. Our third string tailback was the leading rusher, and they were just, you know, very happy for him that he got those yards.
And let's just talk about him a little bit. Coleman Ademo-Schulte, I think you were talking after the game, too. He kind of got a little bit of an injury during the game, was able to come back from that, and still get some playing time there.
Well, I was so excited for that kid. He's a fine young man, and he's a track athlete, too. And the thing I'm super excited about is, you know, he didn't have what I would term a great spring. And we really challenged him when camp was done, spring ball, and just said, you know, here's where you're at on the depth chart right now. You know, if we were to leave to Kirksville tomorrow, you're not traveling. And I tell you what, he took that challenge and he ran, and he had a great summer. He bulked up. You know, he really studied our offense, and he just had a heck of a fall camp. And you saw it carry into Thursday night. I mean, everything that I've been talking him up on, he did. And tough kid. We were playing him on kickoff. He's never done any special teams like that before, and just giving us great effort. And, yeah, I had a little bit of a toe injury, and just, boy, you weren't going to keep him out. So, yeah, I was very happy for him and excited for him.
I think one of the things that's kind of exciting about watching your running backs this year is they're all very talented. It seems like they all have skills that complement each other pretty well out there.
Absolutely. They all do things a little bit different. The one thing they all are doing, though, I really feel like they're hitting it. They're getting north and south off their initial cut. But, yeah, you know, Jordan Simmons, you can line him up a lot of different places. Franklin, you know, really loves the outside zone play, stretch play. That's kind of his baby. Coleman loves the inside zone. I think it's because you have a hard time seeing him. Boy, he gets hit out of the pistol, he gets hit in behind there and just hits it through those A-gaps. So, yeah, they all do things a little bit different.
One nice thing about watching Franklin run this year as opposed to last year, it's nice to see him in a green helmet.
Yeah, right, he's got a green helmet on him. He's running with us, not against us. So, yeah, you know, he's been, again, just a real, real pleasant surprise. And, you know, just his attitude and his demeanor, it's been really, really good to get to know him and watch him grow as a person and as an athlete, and watch him, you know, fit into our team and the Bearcat culture.
One thing about a game such as that, your kickoff coverage team got a lot of work.
They did, and I tell you what, John, it was awesome. We always watch special teams as a whole team the day after a game, and you know, one of the things we started doing this year, I'd always done a hammer award. I'd given it away just to an offense. This year we incorporate it, and it's, you know, called the Scott Bostwick Hammer Board, and we're putting a hammer board up in the locker room. It has their opponent that we're playing, and we give three hammers away a week. We give an offensive one, a defensive one, and a special teams one. And We bought, you know, hammers from the hardware store, and we painted them red, and we put the date of the game on there and who you're playing. And to give those awards away the day after the game, oh, my gosh, it was hard because there were some huge hits on kickoff. I mean, DJ Nader had one, Coleman had one, Travis Manning had one, but our kick coverage, the effort that those kids gave Thursday night was just awesome. Just to watch those kids time it up. Todd did a great job of kicking the ball where he wanted to, but watching those guys run down the field like their hair's on fire and just, you know, hitting people. It was fun to watch.
And you guys also made life a little difficult for Truman State's punter.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody Matheson blocked a punt up the middle initially. You know, it's crazy on both those punts that we blocked. They were hold returns. And what we're trying to do is set a wedge up slash a wall for our return guy, and we send a couple people to the wedge just in case he bobbles the snap. And both times those guys gave just great effort and basically jumped over the wedge and got a hand on the ball. So it was awesome. Whenever you can block a punt in college football, it turns the tide in your favor statistically of winning that game. If you can block two, I think you start getting up in the high 70 percentile and winning that game.
Guess if there is one downside, your punter didn't get an awful lot of work.
No. he's funny, man, and getting to know him too. He's a good, nice young man. But, you know, that first punt, you know, he bobbled that snap a little bit. And it's like, you know, that's the thing that makes you nervous. And funny, he comes running off the side. He doesn't say it to anybody in general, but you heard him say a bunch of us, and we kind of turned to look at each other, and he took his helmet off, and he goes, well, I got that out of the way. Like, you know, there's my first collegiate punt. I'm okay, now we can move on. So we were giving him a hard time about that. But, yeah, hopefully we don't have to use him, but we think he's going to be a valuable weapon for us.
Now, again, the old hickory stick game, and the thing with winning this one, it means you're going to keep the stick for a little while with the way the MIAA schedules transfers out, where you won't be playing Truman State year in and year out.
Yeah, you're right. I don't have time now, but, you know, I've got to get with our administration and see what they want to do. We're out of room on the stick officially, and we actually – last year's score's not even on there, so I don't know. I'm going to try to find somebody to maybe donate us a piece of hickory off their farm, and we're going to have to make a new stick and get it polished up. But that game's very important to me as a player and as an alum. And you know, you were covering those games when I was playing. We weren't winning those games, and so you know, that's something that I think sometimes, just with everything that's happened, you kind of have lost track of that game a little bit in the past. And, you know, it's something I thought our coaching staff and myself did a good job of just, this is a very important game to a lot of alum here, to us personally. And, you know, I thought our kids came out and responded well. I'm very proud of them, and I think that's awesome that we get to keep that stick. When do we play him again?
I'm not sure. I think it's a two or three years.
But to get a chance to keep that up in the locker or O'Rourke room in the stadium, you know, I think that's just – it's awesome for recruiting and get a chance to keep it there, and it's, you know, something we're very proud of.
Now, before we talk about Sioux Falls, I'll just kind of talk about your first game as head coach at Northwest Missouri State and your feelings going out and picking up the victory and your first effort as a head coach.
Well, if you would have had a camera on me when they told me we forgot the headphones, I think that probably would have – I was very proud of myself. I didn't blow up, and I kept my composure. I don't know how. You know, you got a lot of stuff going through your head, and the fact that we forgot the headsets, which is ultimately – that's my responsibility. You know, I didn't do a good job of kind of getting that organized, but that was the first snafu of the night, and after we all calmed down, we just all started laughing in the locker room, and just, you know, after that, I knew it was going to be a good night. We were excited. I was excited. You know, I was nervous. I had the officials coming over, and they're trying to help, and I didn't realize they asked that many questions before a game. They wanted to know this kid's number, that kid's number, who the snapper was, what's the kicker left-footed, is he right-footed, who's doing it, you know. I'm sitting there looking at this guy going, are you kidding me right now? I can't tell you that stuff. And so he started laughing. But, you know, it was fun. It's something I always remember, the fact that I had a lot of, you know, there's a lot of my family and friends there. A lot of guys I played with showed up for that game. That meant a lot to me. You know, the fact that those guys took time out of their schedules. They've got families to come to that game. You know, it's something I'll always remember, you know. But, yeah, that first hour and a half when we got there, it was a little bit overwhelming.
So have you heard from your former teammates about that? I think I know one anyway, Steve Carpenter may have. I talked to him the next day.
But, I've gotten some texts and emails from various people, and I've gotten a lot from those guys, and I'll continue to get it from them, and rightfully so.
Now, a little more of a serious note. I know when Scott Bostwick took over the position, he really had targeted the Truman State game to win game number one. And how much did it mean for the team to maybe win that one for Scott as well?
Well, it meant a lot. You know, the thing I've been trying to tell people is that it was very important to him. Again, that was something we talked about, and I agreed with him wholeheartedly. We did as a staff. We need to make that a big emphasis, week one. But the thing I've been trying to tell people, John, is it's not just that one. It's the whole season, you know, for him. And, the thing he would tell you is it's just week one, and, you know, we got a lot of football left to play, and we do. But it was important. I'd be lying to you if I told you it wasn't. I know our kids felt that too.
Now, this week you've got Sioux Falls, the home opener now, Saturday night, 6 o'clock at Bearcat Stadium. And a Sioux Falls team that saw their 32-game home winning streak come to a close when Washburn went up and came away with a victory on Saturday. But this is a Sioux Falls team that's been a dominant team in NAIA, making the transition now to Division II. And despite coming in as a predominantly an NAIA team playing first year at D2, they're a team that you got to watch for on Saturday.
Oh, they do. You know, the thing I've really tried to do in the last month is educate our kids, educate the media outlets around here and stuff, just because I feel like that's part of my job. But going into Thursday's game, Sioux Falls in the last 5 years was 69-2, and their two losses were national championship games. So follow that up in 2009, they won the national championship, but they went to North Dakota. They went to a 1AA program, got a guaranteed money game, probably made $60,000 or $65,000, and they beat them 17-0. I mean, hung a goose egg on that team. Very, very disciplined football team, tough. You know, anybody that spent some time geographically up in that part of the world, it's cold.
Oh, yeah.
And those kids play out in that, and they grew up in it, and they're tough kids, and it's going to be a huge challenge for us. To sit here and try to tell you who to compare them to, the comparison that I was using with them is that they are an upper echelon MIAA football team. They are a Washburn. They are a Pittsburgh State. They are a Missouri Western. They are a Central Missouri. They are that good. They have that type of talent. Push it farther to the fact there's so many – their coaching staff is intertwined in Northwest Missouri State. Their defensive coordinator, John Anderson, grew up here in Maryville. He wants to come down here and do well. Casey Miley, their offensive line coach, is a Northwest alum. He wants to come down here and do well. Jed Stugart, their head football coach, has battled with Northwest for years when he was at Northern Colorado. He won national championships when he was at Northern Colorado. So there's a lot of guys in that program that know what winning takes. They've been part of winning for a long time. They know what Bearcat football's about. You know, the thing I told our kids, and they kind of looked at me funny, those guys are not going to come in here and be intimidated. They're not. In the past, I think some teams we play, they kind of come into Bearcat Stadium and maybe get a little overwhelmed. These kids aren't. It's not going to happen. They've just played in too many big games. So it's going to be a very tough football game.
What are some of the things that strike you when you look at what they have to offer on the field, some things you want to watch for on Saturday?
Well, they made a couple of bad mistakes against Washburn. They gave up some deep footballs, very uncharacteristic to them. They don't make mistakes on either side of the football. They take care of the football. They make you earn everything on special teams too. We have to be patient, and we have to be able to put together drives. And defensively, we have to keep everything inside and in front of us and make them try to go the distance, because offensively in the past years, they've been very – big play oriented, been very explosive, like double moves, hitches and goes and things of that nature. So, you know, we got to be patient. We've got to earn our way down the field, and we got to, you know, we've got to understand that we're going to have to do that.
Well, it's fun to get football season underway after training camp and everything. You've got one game down, and now get a chance to get it home in front of what will be a great crowd at Bearcat Stadium. It's just a lot of fun to play in that type of atmosphere, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, obviously with everything that they're doing to honor Mel and Carol, and, again, there's so many guys I played with that are coming back. Some of them get in Friday night, but most of them are going to get in Saturday for the game, and they're staying around. So, you know, it's just very important to, you know, just me personally, you know, you want to put a good foot forward for those guys. And, you know, it's very important for our kids. You know, they want to show our fans, you know, that football's back. And, you know, they want to show Mel, you know, what they can do. And, you know, with so many new faces, again, it's going to be really neat to watch them Saturday light up when they come running out of the tunnel, because a lot of those kids haven't experienced that yet.
Yeah, it's definitely a D1 atmosphere coming out on the field.
Absolutely, it is. It's a great game day atmosphere, and you know, I think there's some things that are new this year that I'm really excited for people to see. Some introduction stuff. I won't ruin it. I want people to see it, but I'm really, really excited about some of the things they're doing different this year. And, you know, just really encourage people to come out and be loud and be smart football fans and you know, help us get after Sioux Falls.
All right. Well, Coach, enjoyed it today.
Thanks a lot, John. Thank you very much.
And that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell. An interview with the Coach Dorrell recorded every Monday at noon from the kitchen area at the Hy-Vee in Maryville, again located at 1217 South Main in Maryville. And you can catch this on demand on kxcv.org as well at 525 on Monday afternoons, again on KXCV KRNW Radio. For Adam Dorr, I'm John Coffey, KXCV KRNW Sports.